On most, if not all, of our U.S. currency, we see the words, "In God we trust." The idea for this motto arose during the Civil War when Salmon P. Chase, who moved to Cincinnati in 1830, was elected to city council in 1840, who became governor of Ohio, senator from Ohio, and the 6th Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, was Secretary of the Treasury. Although the Civil War was at full tilt, regardless of identifying with either the North or the South, almost everyone held in common their Christian faith in God. Secretary Chase thought that this motto of his would somehow become a source of hope for all the people of the nation. Sadly, today is very different. Rather than using God and faith as a source of hope and unity, many use God and faith to create division. There are constant lawsuits attacking the right to have displays of faith in public, like the Ten Commandments or a nativity scene. There have even been attempts to have the motto, "In God we trust," removed from our money. And there have been battles fought to have the phrase, "One nation under God," removed from the Pledge of Allegiance. Matthew himself lived in a politically charged environment. The Jews had revolted against their occupiers, the Romans, which resulted in the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Writing more than 10 years later, Matthew had a community that also experienced severe divisions between the Christian faith and other faiths, between following Christ and following an emperor who believed himself to be divine. The tax was one denarius, equivalent to one day's pay, which had to be paid in Roman coin. On the denarius was the head of the emperor Tiberius and the inscription, "Tiberius Caesar, August son of the divine Augustus, high priest." This was insulting to the Jews. There was only one divine king, and that, of course, was God. The Pharisees, who loathed to pay the tax, along with Herodians, set a trap. If Jesus sided with the Pharisees, he would incur the wrath of the government, which would consider him a leader of the rebellion. If he supported the tax, and thus the Herodians, Jesus would incur the wrath of the Jews, who regarded both the tax and the coin offensive. Instead of answering their question, Jesus changed the question into a theological question rather than a political one. He made a play on words, turning the trap around. The phrase, "You do not regard a person's status," was a way of saying that a person was impartial. So Jesus asked, "Whose face is on that coin?" The coin bore the image of the emperor, so legally the coin belonged to the emperor. Jesus simply indicated that the coin was the emperor's anyway, so it should be given back. But Jesus did not stop there. By implication, and believing that we are made in God's image, we belong to God and should be giving ourselves to God. Jesus was saying that we must be as careful about our obligation to God as we are to our obligation to the government. We pay our taxes, we obey the law, we do our best to be good citizens. Today, Jesus is asking us, as he asked the Pharisees, are we as careful about our obligations to God as we are to the state? Are we as good citizens of the kingdom of heaven as we are of the kingdoms on earth? Are we willing to render unto God what is truly God's? May God's blessings be with you this day and throughout the week ahead.